It's the morning show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent this morning. And coming up, we're talking about the resurgence of independent bookstores in our communities across Wisconsin. That's in 4 minutes. But now, a Lake Superior tribe has been embroiled in a years-long legal battle with a Canadian energy firm, Enbridge, after it sued to remove the company's oil and gas pipeline from tribal lands. As a result, Enbridge is seeking permits to route its Line 5 pipeline around the Bad River Band's reservation. Now, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency says a state review did not fully account for the ways the project could harm the environment and tribal resources. Our own Danielle Kading has more.
With the sun blazing, tribal and environmental advocates gather on a road where Enbridge's Line 5 crosses the Bad River Reservation. The pipeline carries up to 23 million gallons of Canadian crude oil and natural gas liquids daily from Superior to Sarnia, Ontario. The tribe's natural resources director, Naomi Tillison, says the tribal council rejected renewal of easements for the pipeline due to the threat of an oil spill.
That's why the council said we are not going to renew these because we need to protect our water.
While the tribe's case is ongoing, Enbridge wants to reroute around 40 miles of Line 5. Critics have already blasted a draft environmental review of the project conducted by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. They say there's not enough information to lawfully grant a permit, and EPA staff agree. The EPA's regional administrator, Deborah Shore, told WPR's The Morning Show they reviewed and offered input on the state's draft.
We think that many of the comments we provided to take climate change into account and to do a much more thorough review of the potential impact on tributaries and on those wetlands will assist in a better review.
The federal agency sent the DNR nearly 200 recommendations to strengthen its review. The Tyler Forks River cascades down to join the Bad River within Copper Falls State Park. EPA staff say the Line 5 reroute may have substantial and unacceptable impacts on the Bad River and the Caucagan Bad River sloughs. Overlooking the falls, Tillison says lake sturgeon spawn in the river and wild rice grows in the internationally recognized wetlands.
That's really, really important to the Bad River tribal members. It's part of the migration story where they migrated to find the food that grows on water, and that's wild rice.
The agency wants the DNR to show Enbridge's plans wouldn't negatively affect state and tribal water quality standards. The EPA also wants to see more details about the project's contribution to greenhouse gas emissions and how climate change could affect it. Walking through tall grass, a group treks into a wooded ravine where a creek runs under washed-out railroad tracks.
See the railroad tracks dangling in the air?
That's Joan Elias. She owns about 190 acres, and some of that land runs next to the project. Elias says after 10 inches of rain flooded creeks and rivers one night in 2016, she was temporarily stranded.
It was washed out along Little Edwards Road. It was washed out here.
Opponents say more frequent intense storms driven by climate change only increase the threat of an oil spill along the pipeline's route. Tribal members also fear the project will harm treaty rights to hunt, fish, and gather. Lacouture tribal member Don White with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission points out Wisconsin made it a felony for people to go on an energy provider's property without consent.
For folks who just don't have a lot of resources, it is not in the best interests of tribes to diminish any sort of access.
The EPA doesn't have a lead role permitting the project, but the federal agency is coordinating with state regulators and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. The Corps says its goal is to resolve EPA's concerns. The DNR says they're addressing issues with those agencies as well as Enbridge. An Enbridge spokesperson maintains the company is committed to protecting the environment, and the Canadian firm stresses the pipeline is a vital energy link for the region. Business manager Joel Zilke with the local 601 Steamfitters Union agrees.
That's a lot of gas and diesel and propane for people that really rely on that, you know, at this point still.
Zilke also touted the 700 jobs the project would create, along with millions in state tax revenues. Enbridge plans to break ground once all permits are granted, but it's clear federal regulators want to know a lot more before they make any final decisions. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Now, little interlude, and now, tell me a story about your favorite bookstore. And tell me, does it have anything to do with one of your favorite books? You're listening to The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn. And if we were to be visiting your town, where is the best place to browse for a good book? This hour is about the communities and culture that are emanating from our independent bookstores. So, what's yours? Join us, 1-800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. We have a panel of guests for this program, and we'll begin with Carrie Obrey, who's Executive Director of the Midwest Independent Booksellers Association. Carrie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Also joining us this morning, Ashley Valentine, the owner of Rooted MKE, a children's bookstore, learning center, and art studio in Milwaukee. Ashley, thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And we'll be joined by Apostle Island's booksellers in Bayfield in just a few minutes. But first, let's start with you, Carrie. You've led the Midwest Independent Booksellers Association for more than a decade now. And since 2020, I'd be interested in knowing what you've seen from our indie bookstores across Wisconsin and throughout the Midwest.
Well, it really is a remarkable story about following your passions and your values. Bookselling is a story of hard work and persistence across or against really difficult odds when it comes to the economics of bookselling. But through it all, it's a story of doing what's important to you, and booksellers have been thriving in remarkable ways. And what's most telling is that there's just been a tremendous rallying throughout the pandemic. And as an association, we don't have any stories of bookstores that have closed specifically because of the pandemic. In fact, it seems to have done the opposite. It seems to have galvanized people's values and passions and drive. And since the pandemic started, we have 54 new bookstore members. And it's just an incredible list of hardworking booksellers. Of those stores, 55 stores are brand new. 10 of these stores are owned by BIPOC individuals. And 5 to 7 of those are unique models, unique sales models like pop-ups and online models and different creative ways of getting books out into the world. So there really is just this proliferation of passion and interest around bookselling, even though the narrative that may or may not still be out there is that it's impossible. It's not.
Well, and you mentioned those numbers, Carrie, and according to the Midwest Independent Booksellers Association website, it appears as though 19 of those stores have joined the association from right here in Wisconsin.
That is true.
And Ashley, I'm sorry.
51 stores in Wisconsin.
There are 51 independent booksellers in Wisconsin now that are part of your association.
Correct.
And Ashley, your children's bookstore, Rooted MKE, opened in Milwaukee in March. What were you thinking?
I think it had been a passion and a desire for a long time, maybe 4 or 5 years of trying to figure out how to make it work. And the perfect commercial space came available in August of 2021. So we worked from August to March to get the store ready to open. I felt like it was time.
You're on West Fleet Street in Milwaukee, correct?
Yes, we are.
So, and was it scary when you opened your doors? And then tell me about when people started coming in and then started coming back again and you know, how this started to, Rooted MKE started to gain momentum in your community.
Sure. So I think I didn't feel scared because when we had done pop-up events out in the community and we're doing the pop-up model where we were going places where people were and selling books in that space, we did really well. We were well received. People always wanted to know when our next event was, where we would be next. So there was a lot of anticipation building up for the space. So I felt like the community knew our mission and our vision and what we were trying to do, and they were prepared to fully support and embrace what we're doing. So I didn't feel scared at all. Once we finally opened in March, it was pretty amazing to see how far people came to visit us. Lots of different groups of people came to visit us. It was exciting to see kids passionate and excited about being BIPOC characters featured throughout the store and being able to pick up any book and know that they would see a character that represented them or someone that they knew or someone who they could imagine themselves to be. So it's been an amazing ride just watching people be so excited and invigorated by the space and always anticipating different programming and different pop-up events that we still participate in. So I would say we're still in the excited energized phase of the business since we're pretty new.
Well, Carrie mentioned
we're always looking for opportunities.
Yeah, and Carrie mentioned it, passion and hard work, the two components that go into this. And Ashley, it sounds like passion and hard work are the roots of Rooted MKE.
For sure, yes.
And Carrie Obrey, from your perspective with the Midwest Independent Booksellers Association, what do you hear about Ashley Valentine's experience as opening Rooted MKE in Milwaukee just this March?
Well, it's a story also about, it's not easy to open a bookstore. You can imagine all the expenses that are involved. And to build that, I've been in Ashley's store. I've seen it. It looks remarkable. It feels remarkable. It's such an uplifting, inspiring place to be. And she built that out of her creativity and her imagination. And, you know, it looks like it might have just kind of been, you know, grown up out of the ground, but it required tons of money and hard work and drive. So there's still, I'm not trying to paint a completely easy picture that bookstores are proliferating very easy. It still is very difficult to get the financing and commit to this sort of ongoing project. But as we see over and over again, especially in stores like Ashley, she's such a front runner of creativity. We don't really have any other stores that are part learning center that I know of. So she's doing a really great job of getting out there and pulling together what she thinks will work and what she thinks her community will respond to. And you can totally tell in the energy between her and her customers.
Yeah, and Ashley, you talked about the importance of children walking into Rooted MKE and finding characters in the book that they can relate to, that are like them, that are them in many ways. Has it been challenging to find books with BIPOC protagonists, with African-American storytelling? I mean, how much work goes into making sure that the children who walk through Rooted MKE will find themselves in the pages of the books at Rooted MKE?
You know, that's an interesting question. When Carrie came to visit, that was like one of the things that I was talking about with her. There's a significant amount of time that's spent curating titles and looking for books to fill the store. Of course, when you open a bookstore, you establish relationships with publishers and people kind of send you information, and you're working with sellers to get titles into your store. And a lot of those conversations, I don't walk away with enough stock to fill the entire store. So a significant amount of my time is still spent independently researching what authors are out there, what books are coming out, when are those books going to be available, because I don't get those packaged for me perfectly in the mail saying these are the books that are coming up and these are the books that are going to be hot for the season. It's a little bit unfortunate because I have to spend so much of my time on the curating side and being really thoughtful and particular about the books that we have in the store because of the niche we're trying to fill. So I wish it was a little bit easier, and I hope that over time, as more authors and illustrators and more of an effort is intentionally being set around uplifting BIPOC stories, it won't take as much time and as much effort to make sure that those titles are included and representative of the community that we support.
Ashley Valentine's the owner of Rooted MKE in Milwaukee, a children's bookstore for all kids. And also joining us, Carrie Obrey with the Midwest Independent Booksellers Association. It turns out that indie bookstores are flourishing, and there is a good reason why, especially perhaps in the pandemic that we're going through and the sense of community you'll find there, a community that is inviting, a community that is welcoming, and in a community that revolves around knowledge and stories and us. 1-800-642-1234 if you want to give a shout out this morning to your favorite little bookstore. I've got mine, but I'll leave it to you. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. So tell me a story about one of your favorite books. Does it have anything to do with your favorite bookstore? It's The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and the Midwest Independent Booksellers Association has more than 50 affiliated stores across Wisconsin. 19 of those have joined since 2020. So if we were to be visiting your town today, where's the best place to browse for a good book? Join us, 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, ideas@wpr.org, as Linda did. And she recommends Inklink in East Troy. Inklink Books opened in 2017. Linda says it is a wonderful bookstore that everyone needs to visit when they're coming through town. The owner is amazing at recommending books, so if you've just got a feeling or a notion, Linda says you can walk into Inklink Books and they will find a book for you, and I love that feeling. How about you? Our conversation joining us this hour, Carrie Obrey and Ashley Valentine. Carrie Obrey is the executive director of the Midwest Independent Booksellers Association. Ashley Valentine is the owner of Rooted MKE in Milwaukee, a children's bookstore. And Carrie, I think we heard a little bit from Ashley here, but just to, in general terms, across the board for our independent bookstores like Rooted MKE, how are these indie bookstores different than the corporate chains?
For me, it's a factor of authenticity. No, it's a real human experience. And that's always been super important to me. That was one of my motivating factors in getting involved with Midwest Booksellers and taking this job. It's independent businesses. They mean so much for Main Street, for communities. You get to associate with the people around you rather than ordering things in boxes and are delivered to your door. You know, more and more, we just need that. And these bookstores are just engines of, I don't know, I would say joy in terms of the way that they're out there circulating books, connecting with people, inspiring readers. It's just a really powerful mainstay of literary culture throughout Wisconsin, the Midwest, and the whole country.
A joy, Ashley, is that's I'm sure what you get from the kids when they come through. But what have the parents said to you about the value of Rooted MKE?
I think parents definitely recognize that we're doing something that's unique and it isn't done anywhere else, at least in the city of Milwaukee. So parents, I've had parents in tears thanking me for the space that we've curated and the offerings that we have for kids and our passion to staying connected with BIPOC families and amplifying BIPOC voices and people feeling like Rooted MKE is a safe space to come in and receive and be accepted. So parents are always excited and sharing the news, and a lot of the growth and the success we've had is because families are out being brand ambassadors and spreading the word and bringing other families into the space to share opportunities and experiences with them.
Yeah, and Ashley, your business model it generates income through offering academic services like tutoring, language classes, test-taking prep. It's a different sort of model, and it actually serves needs for throughout the community. How will you know that you have been, when do you consider what you are doing a success? Is there a benchmark that you have set for yourself?
My first benchmark would be when I'm able to pay myself through the business. That would be an amazing, amazing benchmark to know. But really, I think we're already at a point where we're growing close to outgrowing the space.
Whoa.
So when we're able to, I know the tutoring is doing very, very well. And we have more people on the waiting list than we're able to field just because of space limitations. So when we're able to open another location, I think that will be another benchmark, knowing that what we're doing is valued by the community and able to sustain itself. So those would be my first two benchmarks. And then when we're able to kind of host events that spotlight what other BIPOC businesses are doing, I think that's another benchmark that I look forward to meeting, and just kind of able to be a space where everyone can thrive within the BIPOC community.
And Carrie, you mentioned before that there are these models, and Ashley laid out hers at Rooted MKE, the different models of independent bookstores. Can you give us some idea of what these models can be and how many different shapes these bookstore sellers can take?
Oh, sure. Well, you can start with online only. There are about three stores within our membership that are selling books online on an online website. There's folks who are just rolling out books throughout the community in various ways, whether they're like doing a consignment space in a coffee shop that's next to them. We have a bookseller in Milwaukee, Satonia, who's opening a niche bookstore sometime this year. She's been operating as a pop-up. She started on a bike, so she was rolling around town selling books to other Milwaukeeans.
On a bike?
We have a remarkable, on a bike with a basket in the back. We have a remarkable set of sisters on the south side of Milwaukee who started La Revo Bookstore. and it's bringing Spanish language books and Latinx protagonists all throughout the south side of Milwaukee, which is especially inspiring to me. That's where my mom lives, where she grew up, and, you know, it's been a very working class neighborhood, and the two of them are at Mercados and wherever they can with different events with other Latinx creators and leaders within the community, selling books with this whole really collaborative model with different people all throughout the community. So I would check out her website for sure, their website for sure, to look at some of the creative models that are happening specifically within the Milwaukee area as well.
The owner of the Niche Book Bar joined the morning show back in February here. So we are familiar with them. And our guest, Carrie Obrey, head of the Midwest Independent Booksellers Association. Also, Ashley Valentine, who is the owner of Rooted MKE in Milwaukee. And after the news, we will go to Bayfield and be joined by the manager of the Apostle Islands Booksellers to find out how our indie bookstores are selling and they're faring. And there is still time for you to share and give a shout out to your favorite little nook and crevice with your favorite books. Where do you go for a good read or just a good browse? Join us, 1-800-642-1234. So tell me a story about your favorite bookstore. Does it have anything to do with the people you'll find there? It's the morning show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent, and I was going to confess my love of the smell of books, but then I read this excerpt from the memoir, A Factotum in the Book Trade, by Marius Kaczewski, who is a bookseller himself. It was in yesterday's New York Times. Quoting him here, "There is a breed of Homo sapiens that will walk inside, take a deep breath, and say, I just love the smell of old books. They are to be got rid of as quickly as possible with whatever violence it takes. I have heard the line 1,000 times, and never, never have I sold a book to any one of those people." That's me. So if we were to be visiting your town today, where's the best place to browse for a good book, even if I don't buy it? 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. I'll get to our guests in a second, but let's go to the phones right now, where Sylvia and Stanley standing by. Sylvia, good morning. What's your favorite bookstore?
Good morning. My favorite book?
Bookstore.
Would be a Jane Austen.
Oh, of course. Well, I mean, Jane Austen.
And my bookstore.
Yes.
Northwind Book and Fiber at Spooner, Wisconsin. And it's a place for writers and artists, and they have a back room. Indian Hand Writers often meets there, and they have coffee, and there are embroidered dish towels and things you could buy, and artwork is up. But they're very up-to-date on the books.
But it also sounds like sort of a maker space that you could do a lot of creating, building, inventing in there.
Yes, and it's as a writer, it's very friendly, and it helps you do your work.
Oh.
And they have they cater to the tourists too.
Nice.
You know, up there you might be camping and you get a rainy day.
Need a good book.
In for a good book.
That's right. And any Jane Austen would obviously do. But again, Sylvia's suggestion, Northwind Book and Fiber in Spooner, Wisconsin. Suggestions also available via email this morning, ideas@WPR.org. Jimmy from Gays Mills recommends Driftless Books and Music in Viroqua. Jimmy says he's able to spend hours there just browsing through the books, and just don't tell him that you like the smell of the pages, Jimmy. Our guest, Carrie Obrey, Executive Director of the Midwest Independent Booksellers Association, Ashley Valentine, the owner of Rooted MKE, a children's bookstore and learning center and art studio in Milwaukee. And joining us now as well is Kristen Sandstrom. She's a manager of Apostle Islands Booksellers in Bayfield. Kristen, thanks for joining the conversation this hour.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I wanted to take a look at your bookstore in Bayfield. It's a tourist area, but also right next to the Red Cliff Reservation of the Lake Superior Chippewa. So how do you serve these communities in your community, Kristen?
Oh, gosh. We are so fortunate to have a really productive relationship with the local Anishinaabe tribe here, Red Cliff. And we work directly with some of the different tribal offices to handle bulk orders, their drug and counseling department orders books from us, and their daycare centers order children's books from us. And now there's an amazing variety of Anishinaabe bilingual books available. So it's just become a stronger and stronger relationship as we go.
And what would you say the Apostle Islands bookseller's all-time top-selling book would be?
Well, that's easy because we are in a tourist destination here. So our number one bestseller over these 13 summers has been the book called This Superior Place by Dennis McCann. And it's sort of a survey history of our area, everything from farming history to berry picking to some of the Native American history, how the Apostle Islands became part of the National Park Service. It's one of the few books that we've sold in the thousands.
In the thousands. And that largely tourists, rainy days for camping and need a good book. And This Superior Place by Dennis McCann, published in 2013. Tell me a little bit more about the folks that come from the Red Cliff Reservation of the Lake Superior Chippewa and what they're looking for in your bookstore, Kristen.
I think one of the things that they like seeing when they come in here is that when you first walk into our store, one of the very first sections inside the store is our Native American section. We have Native Americana, which is sort of your history books, your dictionaries and all of that. But we also have a really nice Native American fiction and poetry section. And I think they really appreciate seeing their voices really prominently within our inventory. Especially since the book world has been so predominantly white in throughout history, that it's nice to see these really strong voices being heard. And now with younger readers, we have books like The Firekeeper's Daughter by Angeline Bouley, that's one of my favorite books of last year, which is a young adult book of, I call it Tommy Orange's There meets The Hate U Give meets Nancy Drew.
It's quite a collection, Kristen, and certainly intriguing. And what do some of the kids say about this book? What are the conversations you've had about this book?
I think, you know, it deals with a lot of intense subjects. You know, it deals with gun violence. It deals with there's a sexual assault. It, you know, it has very intense subject matter in it, but it's also a mystery. And the young women who have come into the store who have read it, one in particular, came in and she took 3 weeks to read the book because she was only allowing herself to read a certain number of pages a day because she was loving it so much. And came into the store to thank us for selling her a book where she saw herself on the pages. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we can do, especially for the BIPOC culture now, is to provide stories for them that just feel like something they recognize and know.
Yeah, Kristen, thank you for bringing that up. Also joining us, Ashley Valentine, who is the owner of Rooted MKE in Milwaukee. And Ashley, you'd referenced this before, but just to point it out, I mean, what is the value in having a child find themselves in the pages of these books to identify with the heroine, to find relationship, common cause with a protagonist? What does that mean to a kid?
I think having that opportunity is invaluable to kids. It allows kids to experience the world and experience all of these stories and ideas presented in books in a way that's accessible to them. I think for a really long time, BIPOC kids have read books where they're imagining the world through the lens of someone else and not knowing if it's a space that they're supposed to be in or an experience that they're meant to enjoy as a participant rather than a spectator. So I think it's so critical that kids see themselves and be able to imagine themselves, even in these fiction-based spaces, so that they know that there is a space carved out for them and they should experience these things kind of as someone who is along for the ride or participating in the journey rather than watching someone else wondering when there's going to be an opportunity for them to partake as well.
And as I understand, Ashley, your bookstore, Rooted MKE, had a workshop with Milwaukee author Ebony Lewis, the author of Dear Black Boy, It's Okay to Cry. Tell us about what that, tell us just how does this book and Lewis's advocacy fit with the mission of Rooted MKE, Ashley?
I think I've known Ebony through other spaces. We worked together at the Boys and Girls Club for some time, and I had the amazing opportunity to kind of watch her work and pour into youth through the after school space with the Boys and Girls Club. So any opportunity that I have to work with Ebony is truly a blessing, because she brings so much to the table, and she's a huge mental health advocate. So being able to connect youth and families to having conversations around mental health, which is typically only recently starting to be a broader conversation within the BIPOC community, is so critical. And being able to offer that to families, centering it around kind of the innocence of a children's book. Mental health is typically something that's very heavy and intimidating for people. But when you're able to talk about it in a safe way, and in a non-intimidating way, presented to you through the lens of a children's book, it just offers parents a space to open up as much as they want, or just sit back and receive the information. And then, whether we realize it or not, these messages are resonating with people, and they may use them in their everyday life, or it's something that they're just aware of and able to tap into at a later time if it's something that they choose to do. So Ebony is amazing. So her work, I think, is definitely needed, and the connections that we're able to make together with her network and the network of the store just help to amplify the message of making sure that families and kids are healthy and safe and know that there are resources available for them.
Ashley Valentine, owner of Rooted MKE, also Kristen Sandstrom, manager of Apostle Islands Booksellers in Bayfield, and also joining us this hour, Carrie Obrey, executive director of the Midwest Independent Booksellers Association. And Carrie, as you hear from Ashley and Kristen here, as you hear from the Milwaukee and all the way to Bayfield, what are the common themes of these indie bookstores that we're starting to understand maybe what's making the difference here and seeing them thrive as little communities unto themselves across the Midwest?
It's these transformative stories that we keep hearing about. You just heard one from Kristen. You just heard one from Ashley. I'm going to take you a little bit deeper into the Midwest, into Missouri. There's a young black teenage boy named Sidney Keys who saw a lack of books that reflected who he is. And he's decided to start a book club called Books and Bros.
Yeah.
And if you see a clip online, a news source says that his mom brought him into the St. Louis bookstore, I See Me, an African-American children's bookstore, and that is what transformed him into a passionate reader. And he's now going to be published in January 2023 with a book called Books and Bros, and it's all because the bookstore, I See Me, kindled that passion within him for reading. So it's no doubt that stores all throughout, you know, the Midwest and Wisconsin and the whole country have stories just like this of individuals who are transformed by these bookstores.
And if I'm not mistaken, some of the greatest writers have been some of the greatest readers. So it would make sense.
Correct.
We're talking about the rise of independent bookstores, and we still have time for your suggestions this morning at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Where do you go to feel that feeling? You know, the one. Where do you go to smell that smell? You know, the one. Where do you go to find what you don't even know you're looking for yet? Yeah. So we'll take your suggestions at 1-800-642-1234 and wrap up our conversations with our guests, Carrie Obrey, Ashley Valentine, and Kristen Sandstrom, as we look at our indie bookstores across our state. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. So tell me a story about your favorite bookstore and all that you'll find there. Does the description of treasure sound fitting to you? It's The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're welcome to second any recommendation you've already heard this hour. It sounds like these little booksellers have become about a lot more than just books. I mean, so is Amazon.com, but in the most different ways imaginable. So if we were to be visiting your town, where's the best place to browse for a good book? Join us with your suggestions, 1-800-642-1234. 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Our guests this hour, Carrie Obrey from the Midwest Independent Booksellers Association, Ashley Valentine from Rooted MKE Children's Bookstore in Milwaukee, and Kristen Sandstrom, the manager of Apostle Islands Booksellers in Bayfield. And Kristen, I wanted to ask you, because I know you've had some experience working in the big box bookstores back in the day, how you would compare the experience from working in one of those bookstores compared to what it's like running Apostle Islands?
Oh, wow. That's a tough question, because when I first joined the big box that I worked for, we had a lot of independence within our capabilities in terms of recommending books, and we were still garnishing those relationships with the customers. But that changed really quickly in the early 2000s, and everything became part of what's called a planogram. And, you know, displays were sponsored by publishers, and we were no longer given that freedom to really recommend what we loved reading. So now, working in a small, intimate space like this one, we are forming those beautiful relationships. When certain customers walk in, we know what kind of books they're looking for. You don't get that in a big, you know, warehouse space of a bookstore. And I think that's part of the reason we're doing better than some of those other ones right now.
And Carrie Obrey, tell us a little bit about this bookshop.org and what it's done for independent bookstores.
Bookshop.org started with completely remarkable timing. It was built as an alternative to Amazon and as a book sales source. And it was in the running or in the build, being built for quite a few years, but it launched right before the pandemic. And because of it, a lot of bookstores that maybe didn't have e-commerce or weren't really selling books online, they were able to get bookshop.org storefronts, and it helped a lot of small bookstores really weather the pandemic. So Bookshop is filtering clicks away from big box retailers online and sending those clicks to bookstores. And when a bookstore is a Bookshop partner, they are able to bring home a cut of that profit. And if you go to bookshop.org's website, you will see that at this point in time, gosh, what is the number? I think it's like $21 million have been raised for independent bookstores. That's correct, $21.5 million. Bookshop is a B Corporation. It was founded and exists for the purpose of supporting the independent bookstore network throughout the country, and it's doing a remarkable job. And they'll be the first ones to tell you, go to your bookstore first. Even bookshops at Rome will tell you that. Go to your bookstore's website first. But bookshop.org is a very reliable alternative, or sometimes bookstores will use it if they don't want to fulfill the order themselves, because the order will come directly from the big warehouse and go directly to the customer. So it's just another really powerful and versatile tool in the back pocket of an independent bookseller.
Before we get back to your recommendations about your favorite bookstores, I'd like to know from you, Ashley Valentine, how bookshop.org has helped your business.
We definitely use Bookshop. That is how we fulfill all of our online orders, or customers asking to order things that are not in the store. It's definitely helpful because we're a new business. So the idea that we would uplift the capacity of fulfilling online orders, as well as do all of the programming offerings that we have and run the bookstore, was really overwhelming to start for me, because I started as a one-man show. So Bookshop has definitely supported us with being able to fulfill online orders and support customers who don't live in the greater Milwaukee area.
Let's go back to your recommendations with the time that we have left at 1-800-642-1234. Laura in Keeler, good morning. What's your recommendation for a great bookstore?
Good morning. So Keeler is across the river from Dubuque, Iowa, and there is an awesome independent bookstore here called River Lights. They are just an amazing gem. They're in a historic building that makes it even more fun, and they've got high bookshelves, so the aesthetics are worth everything. Plus, they've got a huge selection, and the staff knows if you ask for a genre of book, they can give you personal recommendations or what other people are reading. They're just super.
I don't know what it is about bookshelves that go all the way to the ceiling, but they never make me feel small, Laura. So I would think that just walking into River Lights in Dubuque would be worth a trip. So thank you so much for the suggestion. Before we get to John and Nina here, I wanted to get Terry's recommendation from Racine. Terry said they travel to a lot of different independent bookstores when they are on the road, and Terry always asks for a recommendation for local authors, saying it is a great way to get to know a community. Carrie Obrey, if I'm not mistaken, you've got a roadmap available for people who would be interested in mapping out our independent booksellers. How do we get a hold of that?
Thank you so much for that segue. I've been sitting here waiting for the opportunity to bring it up.
Tell us about it.
Speaking of all of these wonderful bookstores, you will never find an industry that is as collaborative and happy that the other bookstore exists, that the so-called competitor exists. So it's really wonderful to be able to bring them all together in this way. We work with a remarkable artist. His name is Kevin Cannon, who individually draws every bookstore in our membership and lays them out on this wonderful full-color, old-school print foldable roadmap, the kind you used to have to use to get around town.
Right.
And it's just this proliferation of all these unique drawings of stores that showcase their real personality. So if you go to our website, MidwestBooksellers.org, hover over resources and go to products and services, you'll find a way to order one online for free. We will send it to you. If not, you go to one of our member bookstores and ask them for the roadmap. And just one more plug, this roadmap by popular demand has been requested to be transformed into a puzzle. So this year we will be releasing a puzzle of the roadmap. So if you follow us online, maybe our social media, Midwest Booksellers, you can see us talking about the puzzle, or just stay in touch with your local bookseller. It's going to be available right before the holidays. One more way to celebrate bookstores all throughout the Midwest.
We have a link to Midwest Independent Booksellers Association on our website at wpr.org/mornings. John and Nina joins us with a recommendation this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning, sir.
What would you like to recommend today?
Well, I was thinking about that through the schools that they could promote with the kids, personal libraries, the ones that in their yards, in the people's yards.
Yeah.
The little bookstores.
Little
call
free
them,
libraries. Yeah. The little free libraries.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. And on a personal note, sir, if I may, I'm looking to find a co-author or a ghostwriter for a book I'd like to write on JFK.
A JFK book.
Yes, sir. I'd like to get my number over the air if I may.
No, no, John, I apologize for that. But there is a lot of interest in JFK, a lot of books written about him. And while we have the time, I want to get a couple other recommendations out, but certainly little free libraries or something. Teresa had a recommendation she emailed in Green Bay, Lion's Mouth in Green Bay. Teresa says they've got a cat. And are always so enthusiastic when listening to what Teresa's 9-year-old is interested in. I don't know if the people are or the cat's interested in what Teresa's 9-year-old is interested in. And we are just out of time this morning, but I want to thank everybody for their suggestions. And I definitely want to thank our guest this morning, Carrie Obrey. Thank you so much for your time and information this morning.
You're welcome.
Ashley Valentine for Rooted MKE and all that you're doing there. I look forward to catching up with you in the future. And thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you so much.
And Kristen Sandstrom, the manager of Apostle Islands Booksellers in Bayfield, I really much appreciate it. And when I am in Bayfield, I will be visiting you, and I will not say that I am smelling. I like the smell of books, even though I do.
We hear it every day.
I'm sure you do. And I appreciate you all and all the suggestions as well. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent today, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.